Good morning. Let's get out our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts as we continue through this book of Acts in chapter 8. This morning we'll be looking at verses 26 through the end, Acts chapter 8, and a message entitled The Work of an Evangelist. So Acts chapter 8 for our time this morning. And thank you for your prayers. Had a great trip. Very fruitful trip. Very uneventful flights. Although we had a couple of problems, but they weren't in the air. That's the good news. You don't want problems in the air, right? Okay, problems on the ground. They had one screw that it took them like an hour and a half to fix while you're sitting on the plane. But anyhow, your prayers were felt. We got there safely and arrived home safely and had a few days with my family in San Diego just to kind of relax. And so I'm ready, man. I'm ready to go. You guys ready to go? Okay, let's get in, man. Let's get moving here. Here we look this morning at a story, really, of a very empty man and a very satisfied man. And then they're placed side by side in our text this morning. One man had everything that the world could offer. He had power. He had wealth. He had influence. He had fame. But guess what? This guy was empty. And it sent him on a search for God. He's identified here in our text, as we will see, as an Ethiopian eunuch, a man of influence, a man of power, the Bernanke of the day, if you would, there in Ethiopia. The other man in our story this morning is a man who had already found what this Ethiopian was searching for. He didn't have really any earthly power, wealth, or fame like this Ethiopian had. But he had what this Ethiopian didn't have, and that was a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he went his way, as we saw last time together, making his name known. You see, that's what we are here on planet Earth for. We're not here to make our name. A lot of people think it's about making a name. No, it's about furthering his name and making his name, Jesus Christ's name, known to the world. We're here for the purpose of preaching the gospel. Philip is called the evangelist in Acts. You see, I love that because here's what we see when we look at this guy. We see a guy that is not an evangelist. He's not in the sense that we would look at a guy today who travels around with his entourage and preaches the gospel. He's not a paid evangelist in that sense. He was not a man who was a pastor. He wasn't in a position of authority in a church, you see. Where was he? Well, when we first find him, you see, before he was used powerfully in the city of Samaria, like we saw last time together, he was waiting tables. And the qualification for waiting tables in God's house, man filled with the Spirit, with wisdom, a man of integrity. You see, that was the requirement for serving the Lord in the most seemingly, or at least in man's eyes, a minimal capacity, waiting tables for the widows. What we see this man doing is sharing the gospel, and he's having a very effective outreach in the city of Samaria. God's using him powerfully. And then God sends him to a man who is hungry, who is searching. Perhaps you've come today and you're hungry spiritually. You're searching. You know, life isn't working out the way you thought it would. Things haven't come together and things aren't as secure as they've been previously. In fact, as you come, perhaps for some of you this morning, you come going, what's it all about? And maybe you've come in desperation this morning. You see, this is your day. Because this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, was in that very place. Philip reaching out to this man, leaving a very successful crusade. What was it that made this man, Philip, so effective as an evangelist? Because we're to do the work of an evangelist. How can we be more effective? Well, let's take a look at our text here and let's see. Verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise, go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.' And so he arose and went." I love that. You look at this man, and the first thing I want you to note about this man is he was a man who was led by the Spirit. We're going to be effective witnesses. We got to be led by the Spirit of God. This guy, great. I mean, can you imagine the Lord breaking in into your life and you're busy with something and God's doing a work in your life and he's using you very powerfully and you see the growth of ministry and opportunity before you as Philip was being used here in this area of Samaria? I mean, in our last study, in the first part of this chapter, we see hundreds of people getting saved. As Philip there is conducting crusades, if you would, in Samaria. And then the Lord breaks in on this. An angel comes and he speaks to Philip. You know, a lot of people say, well, where are the angels at today? Oh, they're still around. They're not just a baseball team that kind of didn't do too good this year. You see, what we have here is God's perspective, right? This is the Holy Spirit writing. And so God knows what's going on. We see all over in the book of Acts, angels, you know, being used by the Lord. Listen, the angels are still commissioned from God and they're still on watch. Some of you have been in some close calls in your car that the angels are asking for reassignment. I know mine do regularly. The angels are still at work. The Bible says, in fact, hey, some of us have entertained, in Hebrews, angels unaware. You know what that means? You may be sitting next to one. You're saying, my husband is no angel, Pastor. I'm not sitting next to one. Well, maybe they're on the other side. You never know. You entertain them unaware. Hey, God is using people. He can have an angel show up. You may not even know. I think I have met some in my life. They've just come in from out of nowhere and suddenly they're gone. And they've spoken a word to me, or God has used them, you know, as I reached out to them and in some capacity. You never know. And here, Philip. Now this angel comes to him and says, hey, I want you to go south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. I want you to go to the desert. You know what that would be equivalent of doing? Say you were an evangelist. Say you were Greg Laurie. You're down in Anaheim, as we saw this last year. A crusade is going on. People are getting saved by the thousands. And suddenly, you know, you're ready for the next night. And the Lord says, hey, psst, I want you to go out to Ludlow. Sure, Lord, Ludlow. I mean, Lord, have you seen what's going on here? Yeah, I have. Thanks. Great. Wonderful. Isn't it great to watch me work? I want you to go to Ludlow. Lord, Ludlow. I mean, listen, let's face it. We're all thankful it's there. And I put it down, but I don't mean to put it down. We're thankful it's there, right? Because you know what? You've needed gas and you know, you've had to go to the bathroom from time to time. And listen, Ludlow, something to drink or whatever. Hey, thank God it's there. But how many of you think, hey, I'm gonna start a ministry evangelistically. So I'm going to do a crusade in Ludlow. Not many of you, right? You're going, nah. I'm sure Philip probably, you know, if he was anything like you and me, would ask, why, Lord? What am I supposed to do? Now, you'd think if an angel, I mean, hopefully with us, if an angel showed up and said, hey, I want you to go to Ludlow, you wouldn't go, let me pray about it. You'd go, okay. Well, that's what Philip does. He doesn't argue. It doesn't make any sense to him, certainly. God ever asked you to do anything that doesn't make sense? Hey, it happens from time to time. And know this, there's reason for that. And I know this is hard for us to take as human beings who think we're pretty smart. It says, God's ways are not what? They're what? Guess what that means? They're better. Yes, God is smarter. Okay? He knows better. His way is always better. And even if it doesn't make sense to you, that's all right, God said. You just trust me and go along with me. You watch. You'll be blessed. You'll see. That's always the way it is with the Lord. And it's no different here. And I love Philip because he's led by the Spirit and he obeys. He obeys the Spirit of God. God doesn't have to like yank him around and push him like Jonah. You remember Jonah, don't you? God sent him to Nineveh and Jonah goes, I don't want to go. And he ended up, you know, with a stinky attitude and a stinky, sweaty place. Hey, you got a stinky attitude? Maybe it's because you're disobeying God. You need to get busy doing what he's called you to do and quit arguing with him and quit messing with him and quit saying it doesn't make sense and just do what he says. Just obey. I love the fact that he just gets up and he goes. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, verse 27, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning. And he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Now Philip goes into the desert, and there's this man cruising along. He's got his entourage with him. It says he's in a chariot. Now, our picture of a chariot, of course, many times, this is not what, our picture that we have, the Roman chariot that they used in battle, that's not what we're referring to here. First of all, let me put it in perspective. It was about at least a month and a half journey from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Okay? So can you imagine riding in one of those half-circle chariots standing up for that many hours? No. It wasn't a chariot. We'll see that it had a seat. Okay? So it was probably a buggy with some, you know, smoked windows, kind of a limo-looking buggy. With some horsepower, a couple of steeds on the front, and a driver. And, of course, he probably had, you know, Secret Service in front and back. He was in a position of government authority, so he wasn't cruising across the desert alone. But he had come to Jerusalem, and he went to church. He was a man that was desperate. He was hungry. You know what? There are a lot of hungry people around you. There are a lot of hungry people, hurting, hungry people. Now, to look at this man, here's the deception. You think, this guy, what could he need? He's got wealth. He's got position and power. He's in authority. He's driving the nice car, if you would. He's got the servants. Well, what would this guy, why would he need anything? He looks pretty happy. But he wasn't. He's on a quest, you see. He goes to Jerusalem to church to listen to the word of God read. And you know what it shows me? God cares about everyone. He was an Ethiopian, an African, if you would. It doesn't matter the color of skin. He sent Philip. And I love this, right to this guy. What great lengths God will go to reach one person. I mean, sends Philip out in the middle of the desert in a completely opposite direction from what he would have gone himself. And there in that desert, God so cared about this hungry man. But he had an appointment. He went out to reach him, this man on a journey. You know what? People in life, we're all on a journey, aren't we? We're all cruising through life on this journey. We're all headed somewhere. You see, we're headed for eternity. And that eternity, based on what we do presently, it's either in heaven with Jesus Christ for all eternity because we have believed and trusted in the sacrifice that he made on the cross for our sin, or it's in hell that God has done everything he can to stop us on that road. Every person that has ever walked planet Earth is on a journey to one of those two places. Everybody that you come into contact with is on a journey. As this guy is on his journey, nothing outwardly would make him look empty, lonely, and desperate. But in fact, he was. And as he's headed home, he's gone to a dead church, obviously. He's reading Isaiah. Hey, guess what? This guy had money. And guess what he did with his money? He invested it in the Word of God. You know what? A scroll of Isaiah in that day, hand-scrawled, was not a cheap commodity. He had paid some serious money for this scroll of Isaiah that he was now reading. He had heard perhaps, you know, this very passage that he was reading read earlier in the church. But he didn't understand. And so the Spirit says to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. He's cruising along, walking along. All of a sudden, man, this guy, he sees this entourage coming with this buggy, you know, and this guy's reading out of Isaiah, but he can't hear anything yet, but he sees the chariot. And so it appears, obviously, that it has already passed him. And so I imagine Philip just, okay, God, now I'm here. What do you want me to do? Suddenly this chariot goes, you know, past. Obviously not traveling at a hugely high rate of speed. And unless God gave the ability of you know, this Philip to supernaturally overtake this chariot. At least I see Philip here again running to obey God. It says when he was told to go to the desert place, it says he arose and he went. And when he's told here by the Spirit. Now this is no longer the angel. What we have here is God showing up. The Spirit says to Philip, now go near and overtake this chariot. And so he doesn't say, why? I mean, I can't run that fast. I can never run that fast. How am I going to overtake this chariot? And why should I overtake this chariot? No complaints. No, I can't. God, if you said to do it, you know what? You'll enable me to do it. And he takes off. And he heads towards that chariot. Man, he's running towards the opportunity. How about you? How about me? And opportunities come our way regularly. How often do we miss them? I mean, and we get an attitude. Like, you know, well, there's a crowd. Oh, I don't want to go, man. There's too many people. Oh, I hate the crowds. And the holiday season's coming up, right? And all of you are going to head to the stores here if you haven't already. And the crowds are going to increase. And guess what? You're going to be standing in lines. How many of you like when you're standing in lines, go, these stupid checkers, they need more checkers. Why don't they? I mean, they got registers galore and there's nobody at them. This line is out the door. This is stupid. I just hate this. This is such a waste of time. You poor baby. Your attitude, what's wrong with you? You see, this could be the very opportunity. You know what? God knew that line was going to be there, and he put you in it. Do you think that he doesn't have a purpose for you in that line? Guess what? There's people. You see, Philip ran to the opportunity. Do we run to the opportunity, or do we run from the opportunity? You're in that line, you're impatient. Ah, that's it, I'm out of this store. I'm going to find another one. You ever done that? You go to restaurant, it's too long a wait. By the time you get to the restaurant, you know what, the wait's not long, either the food's lousy, or you've waited like twice as long driving around and everything as you would have waited had you stayed where you were. In your impatience, you Hey, you're sitting there in the lobby of the restaurant. Who knows who will sit next to you? Do you think God didn't know you would be there? Do you think God doesn't have a plan for you there? Do you think the crowd around you is a bummer, or is it a potential blessing? Because, hey, guess what, Lord? There might just be here in this line, and you've got me waiting, and they're stuck, you know, unless they're going to leave the line. We've got some time, and who knows what opportunity might come forth here. God, help me to listen. Help me to look. Help me to be discerning and to take advantage of this line. This crowd, love it. You see, it gives you a different way of looking at it, doesn't it? Instead of a bummer, it's a chance to pray. It's a chance to share, you see, potentially. Philip here ran to him, and verse 30 says he ran to this opportunity, and he heard him reading. He heard him reading. You know what that means? Philip didn't run. I mean, he ran to the opportunity, but he didn't run his mouth. How many times, man, do we run our mouths? Okay, I'm going to share. Okay, I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for a victim. And that's what they feel like, a victim. And there's no hunger. You're not really hearing the Holy Spirit. You're ready to ram the gospel down their throats. Come here. Sort of like Jonah. And you go, I wonder why my witness hasn't having any impact. You know, man, because people are prepared for the sales pitch. And when it feels like that's what you're giving them, guess what?